This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing pretty good, Earl. How are you?
All right. Great weekend, huh?
Yeah, it was a really nice weekend. The weather was actually really nice.
You know why the weekend was so great for me?
Why was that?
No politics.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess there was a little bit of that, but
at least no more commercials.
Yeah. You know, I want to begin the show. We got a great show lined up for you this morning, no question. But I would be remiss if I didn't say happy birthday to my wife of 43 years. Happy birthday to you, dear. And the entire music for today is dedicated to you. But anyway. I want to introduce a guy who, man, I don't know, Bill, what is that, maybe 15 years ago when we first ran across one another?
Apparently something like that.
Yeah. Well, it's none other than Bill Christopherson, a journalist. Hey, Bill, if I talked about all the things you've accomplished in your life, we wouldn't have any time to talk about what we're going to talk about today.
That's right. And if you ask me about them, you'll never get through the hour. Won't be enough.
But I'm
a recovered journalist. That was so long ago, I can hardly remember.
But you know, you have been involved in politics. Oh, excuse me, politics, and all of those different things. I met you many years ago at a different radio station, and we did some things. But anyway, let's get to the crux of why you are here. We're also joined by Miss Ann Wright, and she is a former colonel in the military, and really has done some great things. She's a former Army Reserves veteran who retired as a colonel, and a former U.S. diplomat who resigned in March 2003 in opposition of the Iraqi war. I don't even know how or where to begin with you, Ann, but we will get there. I want to start with Bill. And Bill, you have, you know, rang the bell for veterans of the wars for decades. Let's talk about today, Armistice Day, and what that means and why, you know, it's such a special day.
Well, people are probably not very familiar with it, but Armistice Day was commemorates the day in 1918 on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month when an armistice was signed that ended with the war on the Western Front, ended World War I, which had been an incredible four-year bloody war. Probably 20 million people killed. They don't even know the number. They say 20 to 25 million, an incredible number. And at the time, people were referring to that as the war to end all wars. And that was the hope, that people had seen how terrible it was and it would prevent any future wars and prevent that from happening again. And so, the November 11th, the day that the armistice was signed, was declared in the United States to be Armistice Day, and it was a day to celebrate and promote world peace. And that was observed as Armistice Day until 1954, when in the meantime, it turned out that wasn't the war to end all wars. World War II had happened, the Korean War had happened, and veterans groups were saying, well, Armistice Day is on what World War One, what about us? And so the Congress and the president changed it to Veterans Day. And unfortunately, what has happened over the years since then is that instead of just being a day to celebrate veterans, it's become kind of a day to promote militarism and war. And it kind of it's lost its original intent. And so the Veterans for Peace is a national, actually now an international organization of military veterans. There are about 100 chapters in the United States, and now there are several international ones too. Nationally, Veterans for Peace in 2008 is a national project, took on the task of what we call reclaiming Armistice Day and reminding people what the intent was. And it's a day to celebrate peace, not war. And in Milwaukee, I'm a member of the Milwaukee Veterans for Peace chapter. We have observed it for the last 18 years with an event at City Hall with usually national speakers and some local activists and music. It's a program that we do on November 11th, no matter what day of the week it is, unlike the parade we had last Saturday, because Saturday was more convenient. And so it's tonight at City Hall in Milwaukee. Ann Wright, who's with us, we're so thankful to have her. She is here as a featured speaker. Reggie Jackson, who many know as a historian and activist, is also on the program. We have some music to open it up. And we really just try to remind people what it's all about or what it's supposed to be all about. I know everybody listening to us isn't in Milwaukee, so they can't come at 6:30 to City Hall, but there is an option to follow it on a Zoom webinar tonight. I can't give you the long address, but if Veterans for Peace, Milwaukee Veterans for Peace has a Facebook page, and if you go there, you'll be able to find the link for the webinar and hear Ann and Reggie and the whole program starting at 6:30.
So, Bill, do you want to introduce Colonel Ann Wright, or should I?
I think you should. You have the paperwork in front of you.
Absolutely.
I do want to say that we feel really lucky and privileged to have her here. It was somewhat of a last minute arrangement. She was gracious enough to accept, and particularly to get her here in person, where she's actually able to meet some of our members and do a couple of other things at Marquette and UWM. Too often with our national speaker, we end up watching him on a big screen on Zoom, but it's nowhere near as effective as having her here. So we really appreciate that, but you should introduce her.
I certainly will, and I want to say, first of all, thank you very much, both you guys, for your service. And Colonel Ann Wright, I have served my country for almost 30 years in some of the most isolated and dangerous parts of the world. I want to continue to serve America. However, I do not believe in the policies of this administration and cannot morally and professionally defend or implement them. It is with heavy heart that I must end my service to America and therefore resign. Ann Wright resignation letter to Colin Powell the day before the 2003 Iraq invasion. Patriotism can manifest in many forms and has for Ann Wright. She has been a career military officer, a State Department diplomat, and for the past 20 years, an influential spokesman in the anti-war movement. So if we went on and on and on with all of your accolades, we would run out of time. But first off, I want to say welcome and thank you. But a woman who has reached the acclaim that you have, and especially going back to, when did you first join the military?
Oh, Lord, I joined it in 1967, right in the middle of the Vietnam War. I didn't join it because I agreed with the war, but I agreed with it because I wanted to get the hell out of the state of Arkansas where I grew up. And like so many people that join the military, most don't join to kill people. They join to get out of Arkansas, help their family, do a lot of different things. So that's what happened to me.
Or realize the American dream. The military was an opportunity for many people to get an opportunity to eventually buy a home and do some things that they probably could not have done, benefits and those kinds of things. But 19 women back at that point in time, to have reached the acclaim that you have, it had to be a pretty long journey.
Well, it was. When I joined, less than 1% of all military forces were women. And so, as you can imagine, there was a lot of sexual harassment. There was a lot of sexual assaults that were going on. There was a lot of not so good things that were happening in the military. But I was, pardon me, I was very fortunate. I had excellent leaders in all of the units that I was in. And if had it not been for that, I would not have stayed in the military as long as I did. So I'm grateful. And as you mentioned, all of the benefits that come from military service, not only being able to own a home, but the GI Bill, the educational benefits. So there are a lot of very tempting things for young women and men now these days. In some of our services, the Air Force has 18% women, Army has 16%, Marines has about 8%, Navy 12%. So a huge number of women have joined the military since I was in it.
You know, the terrible thing is that sexual harassment still is going on. It is unbelievable that our government that would send the young people all over the world to fight can't seem to defend them inside of our own nation. I want you to take a moment after we return to just kind of give people a little synopsis of this and many other things that we're going to discuss this morning. My guest is retired Colonel Ann Wright and my good friend Bill Christopherson on an Armistice Day on a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
All right. Welcome back to the early Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842 And that tune is dedicated to my wife, Allie, on her birthday today. But I am so pleased, again, to have with me Colonel Ann Wright, Bill Christopherson, and, you know, I've just been joined by all the women, Larissa Tyler, who is a veteran herself. So I'm kind of excited to have her in. Good morning to you. How you doing?
Thank you so much. I'm doing wonderful. Thank you very much.
Okay. Okay. So let's do this. Let's go to you, Ms. Wright, Colonel Wright. As I was saying to you, asking you about the fact that women are still being not treated equally in the military today, which is incomprehensible to me, when they're sending women all over the world and to fight for democracy and freedom, they say to me, but yet they can't be protected by our government. You say what to that?
Well, it's sexual assault is primarily penetrated by members of the military itself. So it's right. The military itself that has to do a better job of, educating young men, because it's primarily young men raping young women, although there are men in the military that are getting sexually assaulted also. So it's up to the unit leadership to make sure that young men and women know that this cannot occur and that they're punished when it does occur. That's part of the problem. Very few of the perpetrators are punished, and therefore it becomes kind of a unit thing that they can get away with all this. So it is a responsibility of the military to do this, and that's why right now I don't recommend that young women join the military. And even though, you know, for the benefits that you had mentioned before of education and all these things, but when your life is ruined really for the rest of your life, when you have post-traumatic stress, as well as from being deployed in combat areas, but from violence that's within your own unit.
So, Alderwoman Tyler, you're a veteran of the military. What branch?
United States Navy.
Can we hear her? I don't know if we can hear her. Go ahead.
The United States Navy Reserves.
Yeah. How long were you in the military?
For 8 years.
Yeah. So it's Armistice Day, and so we have a guest on talking about that. What does that mean to you?
That means that for women?
Military, period, and the sacrifices. Military.
I think that there's no greater sacrifice than one can make. And, you know, I think about to risk your life for the betterment of humanity. There's no greater sacrifice that can be made than that. And so I think there's not enough words to even give thanks and gratitude for what someone does in that respect.
So let's do this. Let's go now to one of the real reasons that we are here. You know, Colonel Wright, this is a heck of a letter that you wrote, resigning your position to the Joint Chief of Staff, Colin Powell, at the time, about the Iraq War. Why? I mean, it took a lot of courage. A person in that position, that doesn't happen every day. How did you come to that point in your life?
Well, I wrote it to Colin Powell, but at the time he was the Secretary of State.
Oh, that's right.
And I was a U.S. diplomat. So, you know, and Colin Powell, as you mentioned, as the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, he had a strong background in international affairs and all, and being appointed as Secretary of State. I firmly believe that the decision of the Bush administration to bring the U.S. into a war with Iraq was a danger to U.S. national security. It wasn't going to help U.S. national security. And, you know, it was a follow-on to the results of 9/11, where first we went into Afghanistan, and I was a part of that. I was on the small team that reopened the U.S. embassy in Kabul, Afghanistan, in December of 2001. And I saw how ineffective that was for actually going after the root causes of why those guys got into airplanes and flew them into buildings and other, you know, the ground in the U.S. And then for the Bush administration to say, oh, and now we're going to go after Saddam Hussein. It was something that I didn't believe. I didn't believe Saddam Hussein was a threat to U.S. national security. And after Gulf War I, he wasn't really a threat to his own people. There were weapons inspectors that had been in Iraq for 10 years. All of their weapons of mass destruction had been destroyed, and there was evidence of all of that, and the Bush administration was told about it. So I could not figure out why in the world, other than vindictiveness, actually, because Saddam Hussein had said some pretty crude words toward Bush 1 during Gulf War 1. And I knew, you know, we all knew what the results are when the U.S. military goes into an area. Tens of thousands of people are going
to
get killed.
So, Colonel Wright, if we can get you to hang on for a second, I'm joined by retired Colonel Ann Wright, journalist Bill Christopherson, alderwoman Larissa Taylor. All of them have one thing in common. They're all veterans of the United States military, and you on a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
All right, welcome back to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show, and the music is dedicated to my wife on her birthday this morning. And I am so honored and pleased to be joined by Bill Christopherson, Colonel Ann Wright, and Alderwoman Larissa Taylor as we talk about the military and Armistice Day. And so, you know, Colonel Wright, you said some things, and let me bring Bill in on this, because I think it's really important what you said. It took courage. You know, some of us have sat back and watched our forays into all these nations, and supposedly we're there to defend democracy, and many lives have been lost under the guise of we are somewhere else defending democracy and shedding blood and resources of the American people. And yet, you know, Colonel Wright, you said something that most don't have the courage to say, Bill.
Yes, that it's not easy to do it the first time, I think, to speak up. I'm a Vietnam veteran. I was there with the Marine Corps. It was a long time after I returned and was discharged and went back to work as a journalist and what have you, until I actually became actively, publicly involved in the anti-war movement. And it's a step that once you take it, it's really rewarding. I mean, once you actually speak your mind, it doesn't make you more popular with everybody necessarily. You know, I was at the Veterans Parade in Milwaukee Saturday, where finally after about 20 years of saying Veterans for Peace couldn't be in the parade because we were too political. A couple of years ago, got under new management, and we were able to march within the parade now. So I was there Saturday, and we were leafleting about Armistice Day and inviting people to come to the City Hall. And I walked up to one guy, handed him a leaflet, and he said he wouldn't take it. It's Veterans for Peace. He said, we're veterans for war. And that's sort of what Veterans Day has become. That's what this Armistice Day thing is all about, is trying to remind people, even if it's just to make them think about it for a minute, that this wasn't the intent, and we're supposed to be working to promote peace and not be veterans for war.
You know, the one of the most disheartening things that I've noticed over the years and decades are veterans who sleep under bridges and eat out of garbage cans. And yet we say, we love our veterans. You know, it's easy to say we love our veterans and thank you for your service. But I would say that we need to mobilize those of us with veterans and make sure that they receive the benefits that they are due. Many veterans who sleep under bridges and eat out of garbage cans have suffered in the theater of war, and so are faced with some horrific realities, and they've been taught to survive on their own, and so they're not as willing to accept help. Colonel Wright, am I off base with my assessment?
No, you're not off base at all. And you know, I think as veterans, we all three of us here, we hope that our politicians don't get us into wars. I mean, I think the people in the military are the ones that are, many of them, the strongest, saying, oh, geez, you know, I joined to rightfully, you know, protect our country. But what our politicians are getting us into is not protecting our countries. It's adventurism. And as you mentioned, the results of this on young men and women, where, you know, for the Iraq war, I don't know the exact figures, but I think it's something more than 80% of the people that were in the war on Iraq are now getting disability. And that's disability for mental issues they've had, for what they've seen and what they've done. And as you mentioned, with the young men and women and older men and women that live under overpasses and live in tents and cannot seem to avail themselves of services of the VA. And of course, it was the VA that back in 2001 and 2002 said, we are not prepared for what we know is coming, with the administration putting us into the war on Iraq and then upping the war on Afghanistan. And it's been a catch-up for the Veterans Administration to offer services for all of these people that have come back with moral injuries as well as physical injuries.
Alderwoman Tyler.
Okay. It's a couple of things that I'd like to talk about with this. The first one is that we were able to pass a resolution down at the Common Council, unanimously got the vote for November to be recognized at the Veterans as the Veterans Mental Health and Suicide Awareness Month. So I'm really thankful to my colleagues for unanimously putting that through on immediate adoption. The other thing is that before I say the next thing that we've done in the district is I want to just give a moment to recognize one of my colleagues who we just lost due to a mental illness, and that was Councilman Jonathan Brostoff. But one of the things that his life showed us is that we ought not to life alone, but we can life together. And to support each other so that when we can deal with these mental health issues together. And so the next thing that I want to mention is that as a district, I'm very proud to say that for veterans, District 9 is bringing the Veterans Community Project, which is a project that is there to support veterans and their needs. And it's 40 tiny homes that are going to get veterans off the street. and into these tiny homes and to give them the services that they need so that they can transition into life positively.
So let me say this. We thank you for that, and we will get into those things, you and I, at a later date, because we kind of want to focus on the fact nationally what is happening. And you know, when you, I know veterans, and I know veterans who have suffered from Agent Orange, and it took 30 years, Bill, before they got benefits from their exposure to Agent Orange. I know veterans who are suffering from the tar pits, and our government refused to do the right thing when those people came back. These are the kinds of things I think that should be totally unacceptable, and that if the American people were made aware of those things, we should certainly bring pressure to those who are in charge of our military, that how dare you put the lives of these you know, heroes and sheroes on the line, and then you've exposed them to things that we know they were exposed to, and then not stand up and make sure that they receive the benefits that they're due. Bill, am I off base?
No, you're not at all. And so many people, veterans, are still suffering from what people call invisible wounds of various kinds. I have friends who have lost a child because of Agent Orange. The list goes on and on. I wanted to say, when we were talking a minute ago, as a sort of an aside here, that I'm particularly proud that Veterans for Peace in Milwaukee 15 years ago launched the Milwaukee Homeless Veterans Initiative. And we have now helped, at the time they took the homeless census and said they thought there were 150 homeless veterans on the streets in Milwaukee. Well, it's been 15 years later, we have moved 3,000 veterans into apartments and homes, and there's still 150 veterans on the street. So, you know, it's the pipeline keeps going, and a lot of them are still suffering.
You know, Colonel, I will say to you, not only did you speak out at a time when it was not, you know, this was right after 9/11. And so when you made your declaration, I'm sure people looked at you and thought you had lost your mind.
Well, it's true. There were only three of us that resigned in opposition to the war on Iraq prior to the war. There were others later on, as the war was prosecuted, that finally saw this isn't what we need to be doing. But you know, even right now with the genocide going on in Gaza, there have only been 15 people from the federal government that have resigned. There have been six State Department people, two Department of Interior, one Department of Education, and four U.S. military that have resigned. And, you know, for our military to say, I want out of this organization because I do not believe that the U.S. transferring weapons to Israel is right. And we have several others that are in the process of getting CO designations and all. But you're right. I mean, it is a difficult thing swimming against the stream of propaganda that our government puts out about why all wars are good and that we should blindly go into them and just trust us, the politicians say. Well, for God's sakes, by now, if we haven't learned that you don't need to trust all these politicians, because many of them get paid off by the military-industrial complex, the big corporations. And in fact, we have a group called, and we've had a tribunal on the merchants of death, of the war manufacturers that contribute huge amounts of money to our congressional leaders. And when we go into the U.S. Congress to challenge all of these people that keep voting for genocide, keep voting for these wars, we can barely get into the offices because all of the lobbyists from the big corporations are in there saying, yes, war's good. I mean, don't have any problem with that. Keep going.
You know,
so it's a racket.
If the American people really understood, you know, we went into Iraq under the guise of, you know, our former ally, Saddam Hussein, when Iraq and Iran were at war, we gave weapons of mass destruction to Saddam Hussein, who was our ally. And then for us to turn around and go into Iraq and do what we did and use uranium-depleted bombs on innocent people and kill over 400,000 Iraqis, the American people aren't aware of those things. And then today, to destabilize Iraq, and who's controlling the oil wells? I mean, it's so many things that the American people are unaware of. And as educated as we are, we don't realize it. 855-752-4842. I am honored and privileged to have Colonel Ann Wright, my good friend Bill Christopherson, and Larissa Taylor, Alderman Larissa Taylor. We're all talking about Armistice Day. You can join us, 855-752-4842 on a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. That someday I will be your guide. Hey, love, you're my one true soul desire. Hey, love, baby, can you feel this burning fire? Hey, love.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right, welcome back to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. And the music is dedicated to my wife, Allie, for her birthday today. So I am joined again and very much honored to have before me Colonel Ann Wright. Bill, what was your ranking?
Sergeant.
Oh, I thought you wouldn't make it past petty officer. No, that's petty officer is in the Navy. But private, first class.
Well, it was sort of a contest at the end of the I would get discouraged before they got my stripes. But I
and Alderwoman Larissa Tyler, what was
Taylor.
Your... Taylor, I'm sorry. What was your...
So I was an E6 in the Navy Reserves. Yep.
Okay. So let me ask you, Colonel. You now are speaking out against what's happening in Gaza. I maintain that part of the reason that Vice President Kamala Harris and the Democrats suffered some was the fact that they went all in on the Gaza war, even in the face of young people saying we're opposed to it, even in the face of Palestinians and Muslims across this nation said we're not going to vote for you for that. We just seem to not be able to resist. Looking at what we're seeing, genocide taking place, and why is it that our nation can't say no to that?
Well, it's, you know, it, I fully believe also that it was a great part of why Kamala Harris lost the election, that she maintained that despite the evidence of 42,000 people having been killed in the last 13 months, probably 100,000 that we haven't even found right. under the rubble, that the U.S. should continue to without question, send weapons to Israel to continue the genocide in Gaza and also increase it, increase the violence that's in the West Bank and now the attacks on Lebanon. So, you know, none of us agreed with what happened on October 7th. That was horrible. That was horrible. But there was a background to it of decades of oppression by the Israelis on the Palestinians. But for the genocide that's going on right now, for Kamala Harris to say self-defense of Israel first, and I'm sympathetic with the problems of the deaths of the Palestinians, that was not good. And the voters let her know about it. So, but whether or not the Trump administration is going to stop the U.S. support for and giving weapons and money to Israel, that's yet to be determined. He certainly, in his first administration, he moved the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem. He has an illegal settlement that's named after him. There's no indication that he is at all sympathetic with the plight of the Palestinians. So, unfortunately, you know, it's up to all of us as citizens who don't want our nation as a part of genocide to keep putting pressure wherever we can. And I mean, it's a thankless job. I've been in the Congress virtually this whole year, and the comments that we've got back from congressmen and women and senators about, yeah, the genocide needs to go on, kill them all. It's just so heartbreaking to think that our elected officials are on saying, yes, we support a genocide.
Bill?
Talking about the election, it reminded me a little bit of 1968 when Hubert Humphrey's inability to separate himself from Lyndon Johnson and say, no, I'm against the Vietnam War, cost him that election. And I think you may be right that may not have been the only factor last week, but it certainly was one of those. I mean, I personally, in the primary, voted uncommitted here, and I know a lot of other people who did. In the general election, I didn't want to take a risk that we'd get Trump, although we did in the end anyway, so I voted for her. But when a vice president is running, I can understand the problem. You know, they say she got that terrible question that she said, I can't think of a thing I would have done differently. I had wished that she would say, you know, I'm not Joe Biden, but I have to remind you that he is still the president and I'm the vice president. But in any case, you know, there wasn't really an option unless you wanted to vote the third party, which didn't seem very productive. It's unfortunate that we're in a position where you don't really have a choice when it's a question of war and peace, that both parties seem to be in the same spot.
So, guys, you know, and I hate to do it, but we have to leave it there. But promise me, Bill, you will work to bring Colonel Wright back, and soon.
Well, certainly.
All right, and all the women.
You didn't get her to commit here.
All right, and all the women, Taylor. We got to get you back in soon. Thank you guys.
So
happy Veterans Day.
Thank you, and it's an honor to be on the same show with them. Thank you.
All
so
right,
much.
We'll be right back.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.